I feel very highly honored to be among you, people of God. And I say good morning and happy Sunday to you in Jesus' name. Firstly, I want to crave your indulgence to use this wonderful opportunity to express my profound gratitude and appreciation, and that of my family, to the entire church for the wonderful way in which they supported us, assisted us, cooperated with us during the wedding program of our children. I say the Lord will continue to strengthen the church, and the church will continue to increase spiritually and physically. In the name of Jesus. Secondly, I also thank God and thank the angel of this church for this wonderful opportunity to also stand before you and share the word of God with you. It's a great pleasure for that, and I feel also highly honored. Ever since I've been among you, I've discovered that this is a fellowship that is going to heaven. Amen. Because I have seen over the years that not all people are willing to go to heaven. But I thank God for you, and the Lord will make the way very, very plain for you, and you will reach that expected end in Jesus' name. This morning, I want to just, for this short space at my disposal, to just remind you. I say reminding because I'm sure the topic of today is almost likely to have been taken either in your Bible study or in your Sunday school quite recently. But I want to believe, and I still share the conviction of our wonderful man of God, Apostle Peter, in his second general epistle, chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, that says that exhortation is one of the aspects of our Christian life. That is, we continue to exhort ourselves as regularly as possible, even until we see Jesus. Praise the Lord. So I also believe that the subject is a very important one, and it's one of the areas of our Christian life that God takes great delight. And I also believe, and considering the place of our character to our belief, the topic is a very important one, has an eternal significance, and the exhortation of today may be for a particular person among us. Praise the Lord. So before I begin everything or anything at all, I want you to rise with me as we just take this worship song. You are the pillar that holds my life. You are the pillar that holds my life. Mighty Jesus, you are the pillar that holds my life. Master Jesus, you are the pillar that holds my life. Once more. You are the pillar that holds my life. You are the pillar that holds my life. Master Jesus, you are the pillar that holds my life. Master Jesus, you are the pillar that holds my life. Once again, let us just bless the name of the Lord. Let us thank him. Let us say wonderful things unto him. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our thanksgiving. He is the Almighty God. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you adoration. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we are still standing, I want us to hold our Bible. Actually, I want us to read Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 23 to 30. But I know as we go along, the story will be very clear before us. And I just want to confine my reading to verse 30. Ezekiel chapter 22, I read verse 30. This is the New Language Translation, so you can go along with me because of the microphone. I look for someone who might rebuild the walls of righteousness that guards the land. I search for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so that I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one. Shall we pray? Father, Lord, we thank you today. The entrance of your word giveth life and give understanding to the simple. This morning we are before you. We want you to speak to us. Father, do so in Jesus' name. I pray today that you will let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that all our body will be flooded with light, that all the things you want us to comprehend from your word today, you will make us so to do, and that we'll be blessed abundantly in the name of Jesus. Father, your people are before you. They want to be lifted up. Father, lift them up in Jesus' name. If anyone that is here today that even needs healing, as the word will come out, let healing be perfected. In the name of Jesus, let the blessings be abundant and let your name be glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. You can be seated. I want to speak to us this morning or remind us on this simple topic: can God depend on you? Can God depend on you? I thank God for the Sunday school of today. It has almost helped me about the work. But my own aspect is just to take the position of God. I'm not God, praise the Lord. But I just want to start to ask the question, after having had that wonderful lesson, to now give a very good answer to him. I'm sure he will help you in Jesus' name. Depend. It's a simple word that we may not go too far to prefer definition. But the Webster dictionary tells me that it means to trust or to have full reliance on. So that simple word means, and for our purpose, it means God trusting us, depending on us. So that's the reason why the question is coming. Can God depend on you? When we look at the book of Ezekiel, where we have just read, when you begin to read from verse 23, we can see it's a message that God sent to the people of Israel through prophet Ezekiel. And it's our God complaining about the situation that were prevalent in Israel at that particular time. The social, political, and spiritual life of the people of Israel were in a serious decadence. That is just to sum it together. Lot of vices, political leaders and spiritual leaders, they have gone astray. They are no longer in the path of righteousness anymore. They are doing their own thing. And because of this situation, God was very angry. But because he's a man, he's a man, a person that is slow in anger and is rich in mercy. He wasn't willing to destroy his people because they are his own people. So he sought for somebody to stand in the gap so as to rebuild the word of righteousness so that he might not destroy the land. Unfortunately, he could not find anyone. When we look around us at the present time, we can see, if not more than the situation of Israel around us now. Politically, you can see troubles all over the nations. We can see upheavals, violence, injustice around us, killings, and so on and so forth, immorality and what you have it. We can say that those ones are in the world. But in the church at the moment, we can see that there are even serious, serious problems in the church at the moment. What I'm saying is that what you have not heard before, you are hearing it. I could go on narrating the stories of our own side, but one thing that I saw, even in the newspaper, when I came here, I discovered that I saw in the news, they said a bishop stole $1.3 million. Stuck some in the ceiling of the church. Put some in the banks. For what? To be able to take care of his own lifestyle. To take care of his own lifestyle. Not to talk about what members can do, and I'm only saying just not to waste your time. The situation around now are even calling more for the call of our God that time than what is presently even that the situation, the call of our God, the present call is even more than what God was even having in mind the other time. But one thing that is clear is that either he spoke in the olden days or he's speaking now, he remains the same, and he's calling on us that can he depend on us for what? For what? Can he depend on us for what? To build the wall of righteousness in the land. To build the waste places. To even repair the old waste places and there for the path of men to dwell in. In the world today, and in this country, and even in our country, we need God's intervention. And God can only work through us, through human being. Praise the Lord. When we look at what God is doing, or what he wants to do, we discover that God wants to depend on us to preach the gospel. I think you agree with me. Praise the Lord. Please, you will pardon me. Where's my cup? Okay. God wants to walk in us for us to build the wall of righteousness. He wants us to preach the gospel and bring children into his kingdom. God wants to depend on us to feed the flocks. That is, after bringing the children into the kingdom, they must be fed, they must be nourished, they must be brought to that desired maturity for them to be able to be useful. God wants to depend upon us to care for the flock. You know, feeding and care. Care is extra. You go extra mile or feeding. You care for the totality of man. I always say it wherever I go, that the most, after bringing a person unto salvation, you have to see to the totality of that person. Not only just bringing him and just leaving him like that. You feed him, you care for him, and you make sure that he's turned into another new person entirely. So it's very important. God wants to depend on you to care for his flock. God wants to depend on you to build his own kingdom, that is the church. Thank God for all that you have been hearing from the angel of the church. That is all are determined to be able to bring a good foundation, solid building for the kingdom of God at this place. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. And the Lord wants to depend on you, for you to intercede. To intercede for the church. To intercede for the world. And that is the cross of the work. Of that dependability. So the Lord wants to depend on you so as to be able to reach unto him. To be able to continue to bring about the work of God. Even in the church. And indeed, in the whole world. I want to be citing scriptures, but I was looking at the time. I don't know. Maybe we should read some few of them. Up to 30 minutes. Okay. Because if we want to talk about the call of God on you to evangelize, you still remember that you have to look Luke 24:47. Our Lord Jesus Christ is telling us that we should go and preach the gospel. Maybe you can put it down and check some of these things when you get home. You put them down so that you do like the Bereans to be able to check whether they are correct. The Lord wants us to evangelize so that we can be able to bring the whole world to him. You still remember? First Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. He wants everybody to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. Doesn't want anybody to die, or anybody to even perish. So that is on the evangelism. On feeding the flock, you still remember. Matthew 28, verse 20. Teaching them to observe all that I have already commanded you. I'm with you to the end of the. I'm with you always. Even up to the end. Praise the Lord. To care for his flock, you can still see the example in the book of Acts, chapter 4. Acts, chapter 4, verse 35 or so. It's still there. You can check it. To build up the church. Can also see you can see that one in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12. I'll put it down. And the work of intercession, you can see it in the 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 to 3. So you can note them just for your own reference so that we can be able to move faster. Praise the Lord. One thing that is very important, which you have already seen here, is that the dependability we are talking about, that is the question we are asking. God, He's not wishing that this work be committed into the hand of children. It's not a baby's assignment. The Lord wants to depend on sons, on matured people. On matured people. Why? Although the Lord is interested in the life of children, we still remember the book of Psalm 127, verse 3 or so, that children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is their reward. But God doesn't want that child to remain child forever. So that's the point we are going to look at very, very well. God wants the child, when he's brought into the kingdom of God, to grow into maturity. One of the reasons why God cannot trust us, some of the reasons why God cannot trust children for the work, are due to their characteristics. You can agree with me that children are very vulnerable, they are very weak. They cannot stand alone. You have to be led by somebody. You have to be led. They are no threat to the devil. They are self-centered. Do you believe? And most of all is that they cannot produce. They cannot produce themselves. Even in the physical, you see, you know. And when you take it to the spiritual, you can also be able to analyze it. Maybe I believe the Holy Spirit is working in you and be able to even expand it more, because we are still having a lot to go. Praise the Lord. Children has those characteristics. Oh, the Lord cannot rely upon them. On the other hand, sons, that is mature people, they are very strong. They can stand alone. They are already a threat to the devil, because by the time they are mature, they are a threat to the devil. They can also reproduce themselves. So we can see the difference why God will not trust his work to children. I just want to illustrate it in another way. That God, the interest of God in mature people. Let's take our physical reproductive system. That is our family system. A parent, after bringing forth a child, and the child becomes problematic. That is, the child cannot eat. The child cannot walk. The child cannot even do anything. He cannot even hear anything. He has to be born, taken here and there. He has every tendency that parent will find it difficult or will not be interested to even bring forth another child. The reason being that he will be afraid whether the child that is coming will also be like the former one. In this side of the world, I know that we have a planned family. But in our area there, they just bring forth children anyhow. But I'm talking to the civilized society. When somebody has that child, he will not be interested in getting another child. But let's just discover that child is brought forth very beautiful, intelligent, and is growing in the normal way. There's every tendency that family will want to have more of those children so as to be able to have more of them to enrich that family. That's also at what is in the mind of God. When God saw Jesus, As we can see in the book of Matthew chapter 3, 17. I still will believe, maybe somebody can read that. But what is there is that after Jesus Christ was baptized, he came out of the water. And there was a voice that says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." When God discovered that he has been able to bring forth an unspeakable, he had unspeakable delight in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saw that he has brought him forth. He was very, very happy and interested and willing that if I can bring up Jesus, definitely I need to produce as many Jesus as possible. And that is the reason why you are now brought into the kingdom and you are expected to grow and grow into that stature of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are expected to be nourished in the word, to desire the sincere milk and come to that maturity. By coming to the maturity, you now be able to meet the criteria of dependability. I want to this time remind you that in doing all these things, God himself is of the opinion. In fact, he has already purposed in himself that you will grow and you will mature, and when that maturity is reached, then you will be available. Praise the Lord. So that's the reason why in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 19, Romans chapter 8 verse 19, he said the next expectation of the creature waited, even in some verses, patiently for the manifestation of sons of God. God has called you. He's waiting patiently for you to manifest. You shall manifest in Jesus' name. So, by the manifestation of the sons, the purpose of God for even creating that soul, that life, will have been brought forth. What are the purpose of God for every life? Number one is that that life has been planned for God's pleasure. That is, for him to worship God and for him to grow to the point of becoming the friend of God. Praise the Lord. Purpose of God. Among other things. Number two, the purpose of God is that you are shaped into God's family. When he calls you, he shapes you into God's family. Still remember that you have to be fed. When you begin to fed, you are built up, you are careful, you are built up. He shapes you into the family of God. What it means is that he wants you to come together and experience life together. You experience life together in the church. You also make sure that the fellowship of the brethren are kept intact. That is, if there's any broken fellowship, you restore it quickly. You work on it. He's also willing that you maintain the new unity of the church. So every attempt, every work, every plan, or everything a person does in the church, he must be able to tailor around all this. Although there are many, but I'm just confining myself into some of them. That is, you experience life together, you go along. I know you still remember that you are not part of this world. You are a stranger, you are pilgrims on the journey. go along together. If there's anyone that wants to fall out, you make sure that you go and rally around and make sure that it's brought into the fellowship. And you make sure that the unity of the church is kept. The purpose of God. Another one, number three, is that the Lord, God himself, has made it possible for you to be created into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said before, he has unspeakable delight in Jesus. So he wants to have unspeakable delight in you. And how can it happen? You will be transformed by the truth. That is the truth. The word of God is the truth. When you hear the word, as we are hearing now, you are transformed by the truth. And along the line, you can be transformed by temptation. When you are transformed by temptation, it's not supposed to be your end. You are supposed to defeat temptations. Praise the Lord. I think you still remember that as children of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 said, there is no temptation that has come to us that is not common to man. Check it, check at home. Because of time. So God wants you to be created into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, that you be transformed by the truth. Number two, that you are transformed by troubles and temptations. And when this situation comes like that, you rise and you defeat temptation. Still remember James chapter 4 verse 7. Resist the devil, he will flee. Praise the Lord. Number four, for the purpose of God, is that he has made you ready for his service. He has made you ready for his service. When you are mature, when you become matured, made you ready for the child, for his own service. That is, for you to take assignment. When our daddy was mentioning about teams in the church, I was saying that some people should have even filled the teams already before it is mentioned. Praise the Lord. After today, I know it will happen in Jesus' name. Because you don't need to be forced and cajole, and you don't need to be forced into it. Maybe if time permits, I will tell you a brief story of myself. But I don't want to be seen. I want God to be seen. Praise the Lord. So you must take assignment. Ready to take assignment. And as you are taking assignment, you must also be ready to use the gift God has given you. Because he has given you gifts. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 5, you will be able to see many of them. He has given you gifts. If you don't know, that thing you have already decided, the thing you have passion for. That is whatever you have passion for. That problem that you want to solve is your assignment. Praise the Lord. So, God has already made you ready. He has also equipped you. That is number five. Yeah. We're talking about his purpose for you. He has also equipped you for a mission. He has a mission for you. A mission for you. That is, wherever you are, you just give the full testimony of your life. A message that brings life. A message that gives hope. A message that builds up homes, establishes people. It gives you the opportunity to do it. And as you continue to do this sincerely, it will make you to become world-class Christian. Hallelujah. That is the Lord for you. So you can see, God has a wonderful purpose for us. All these things that God is doing it so that you will be able to be dependable. He's doing all these things so that you can stand on any ground and be able to contend with any situation. Amen. And I want to say it, that this morning, as we are hearing, the Lord will kindle that fire in you. And that which you have even been hiding to do before, He will push you into the limelight. In the name of Jesus. God wants to depend on you. Can He depend on you? When we look at all what is happening in the world today, we need intercessors. Intercessors very much. Permit me, maybe that is the reason why the Lord has already given me that burden. And I'm very much involved in that intercession ministry. Because I will tell you, it's an assignment that you can do without anybody seeing you. It's an assignment that is not appreciated. It's an assignment that cannot be envied. They don't envy. To continue to stand up 12 to 3 every morning and pray, not for yourself, for the whole world. It's not an assignment for the cowards. It's not an assignment for those who are falling back. Thank God for the Sunday school of today, because He's to let us know the value God wants to pay upon us and to rightly stand in that position so that God will be happy with us. Praise the Lord. Can God depend on you? Maybe because of our time. The Bible, examples abound in the Bible of those people that were dependable. We consider some of them in the Sunday school. Abraham is a wonderful one. Because the book of Genesis that we read even in the morning, Genesis chapter 18, begin from verse 17, you will see the assessment. God, that place sums up the assessment of Abraham before God. And not only that, when you go down to verse 22, you see Abraham interceding for the city or the town cities that he has no direct connection other than that Lot was there. So it's a very important example, a practical example of those people who grew. And you know, Abraham came from pure idolatry background. You even grew from Christian home, from pure idolatry background. He heard the voice of God, quickly jump up, held on to it. And when you look at his story up to the time of offering his son as sacrifice, you can see that he deserved the integrity God placed upon him. The Lord will put integrity upon you today in the name of Jesus. Another example that we may not be able to cover a lot of examples, but I will just point you out to some. The book of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. They are clear examples of those people that God depended upon. They had the body of their own people. I mean, they became aware of the problems that was going on among their own people. They rose up, offered themselves for God to use. They contended with the enemies. You still remember Ezra, Nehemiah, even all those Tobias, Sambalat and Tobias, you remember them? They wanted to make it impossible for the work of God to be done. But they rose up and they defeated them. Not to talk about Esther, you still remember? Esther said, "If I perish, I perish." For his own people, she was already well contented. But when the body came to her, she rose up to the challenge and she defeated the enemy. Praise the Lord. You will always defeat the enemy in the name of Jesus. Not to talk about our Lord Jesus Christ, a perfect example. When you look at the book of Philippians chapter 2, beginning from even chapter 1 to 11, and agree together with Hebrews chapter 10, you can see the summary of the obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ. He himself is God. But despite being God, he obeyed. That is, he humbled himself before the Father and gave himself even up to the point of paying the supreme price for the whole, for the sin of the whole world. You have not even been asked to pray for more than Australia. But this man paid for the sin of the whole world. And even the apostle, except Judas Iscariot, they also tried. Even though Peter fell and he rose again, and God used them mightily after all. Because they were already with Jesus, they learned from him, they saw him, and Apostle John was talking. He said, we have seen him, we have held him, we have dined with him. And that fellowship is the fellowship we are calling you into. Praise the Lord. So the Lord is calling you into that fellowship of those saints to find your place among those people, to write your name in goals in God. God wants you, want to trust you, want to depend on you. Of course, before we round up, I will say that there are also bad ones, but time may not be enough for us to consider them. You already know them. You know Samson. You know Saul, that we have learned in the Sunday school. Eli, they are there. All these people, even Judas Iscariot, they are there. They are those people who prove themselves incapable of God's reliance. Your own case will not be like that in Jesus' name. Yes, there are rewards. There are rewards for dependability. When you have come into his kingdom as a child, you are nourished by the sincere milk of the word. You grow thereby. You become matured. You'll be able to surrender yourself totally for his use. Your heart for his use. And you'll be able to take up any assignment. So whenever God comes, he'll be able to find you ready for the assignment. I say today, even if there is anyone who is lacking in this area, the Lord himself will raise him up and will put him in that realm for which he will be dependable in the name of Jesus. I said there are rewards. I quickly mentioned them. There are many. In fact, they are spread all over the Bible, right from Genesis to Revelation. But when you will read Psalm 112, read it from beginning to the end. That is part of it. But I want to summarize that God, if you are matured and you are available and you are dependable, God will be close to you. God will be very close to you. Other than closeness, God will accept you, acceptability. God will always accept you. And when God accepts you, one thing is that he will give you supernatural power. Praise the Lord. He will give you supernatural power for the work. And everything you take on for him will succeed. Praise the Lord. He will never fail. He can never fail. I have proved him to that point. He can never fail. Not only that, He will make you fruitful. Wherever you go, you'll be fruitful. Not to talk about the blessings of Abraham. And talk about Jesus. Jesus, who was despised and was killed by even in the church. Sorry to use that language. But he's still going on strong today. Praise the Lord. So you will be fruitful. Other than that, God will give you peace. When you have done, I want to tell you, for those of us who are in intercession, when we pray and we begin to see results, even for the people of the world, because we reach out onto missions, onto people to send us information so that we pray about it. When you see the result of God, you have peace in your hand. If you yourself, you have peace. And for the fact that God is using you, you will have joy. There will also be joy in the Lord. Peace, joy. And not only that, not only joy, God himself will now give you an authority. Authority. Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon scorpion and serpent and all over the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt us. Amen. And not only authority on this earth. He said authority to rule nations. Authority to rule nations will be given to us. Praise the Lord. And not only authority. He will make us to reign. We will reign with our Lord Jesus Christ on the throne of the Father. Praise the Lord. Read the book of Revelation. They are there. Those are the reward. So in conclusion, I will summarize all what I have already been saying. Philippians 2:13. Let's already read for us. Philippians 2:13. Is anybody reading? Okay. If you are not reading, maybe you put it down because of time. I just bring the summary together. The book of Philippians 2:13, it tells us that God works in us. Both. Okay. Are you reading? We do good pleasure. Praise the Lord. We need to understand that it is God that does his work in us. Our own strength is very small. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 6. We have read it in the morning. We may not need to read it again. We must be ready to release ourselves as the clay in the hand of the potter. For him to break us down and remold us. He will remold us this morning in the name of Jesus. To remold us into his divine nature and made readily available for his service. 3 John verses 5 and 6. Is anybody reading for us? 3 John verse 6. Third John, verse 5 and 6. It's only one chapter. Praise the Lord. You can marry it with Acts chapter 17, verses 19 to 21. The point I'm making there is that we must begin to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to think of the needs of the church. The Holy Spirit to help us to think about the need, either spiritual, physical, financial. When he ministers into your heart, then you will do. And most importantly, for what you are supposed to do for the world, and indeed for the unbelievers. Whenever you get to an unbeliever, you want to share the word of God, it is very necessary for you to pray a small breath prayer. Father, show me the thing that is holding this man or this woman from believing or accepting you. Praise the Lord. He will do it. Then you will go straight into that point and he will answer. I just quickly illustrate it. We were in an evangelism walk in somewhere else, we call it Sango, around Sango. And two, we were peers. We got to some people, they were playing draft. And I asked the second person to preach, why are we be praying? So as the person was preaching, they were so annoyed with the preaching because it was disturbing them. So annoyed. And they were trying to be very antagonistic of this man. And all of a sudden, I just came, I said, man, I said, you are playing with fire. I say, fire? He said, fire is in your Bible. I say, fire is in my Bible. Say, let us go to Revelation 21, verse 8. Then I read it to him. That is, all this, they will end up in hellfire. He said, people, don't play again. You know? We have to look about this thing. We have to settle this thing, this fire in the Bible. That is how we started preaching to them. They finished their own draft and we took over. Praise the Lord. So you must be able to ask the Holy Spirit. He's there to help you in the name of Jesus. Genesis chapter 18, verse 22. We have already said it. We must be ready to stand in the gap. Intercede for our family. First, for our family. Secondly, for the body of Christ. And most importantly, for the whole world. For the world is going one kind. They call it civilization. But civilization is getting one kind. We have to return to the path of sanity. Our Lord will soon come. He doesn't want anybody to perish. So we have to preach the word. We have to intercede when we are preaching the word. We have to intercede and ask the heart of God for maybe China, for Australia, for this, for Africa. Africa needs prayer very much. So we concentrate on those areas. I was impressed and encouraged when I was told that five people prayed and broke down the communism in China. I was encouraged. And from that point in time, right, very, very long time, I discovered that intercession would be the very important work that will gain my attention. Praise the Lord. Esther, chapter 4. Verse 16, finally. That is Esther telling you that if I perish, I perish. We must be ready to forsake all and even pay the price for the cause which Christ himself has set us an example. He has already set us an example. It's not a new thing. So we have to be. When Stephen was doing it, it was as if it couldn't happen to anybody again. It happened to him. And you remember in Revelation, the list of the matters have not been complete. Are you not going to put your own there? That is the very, very wonderful side of the matter. But the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. So by so doing, that is making ourselves matured, ready, willing, open to God, we can boldly stand up and answer the question of God. Can God depend on you? Say, yes, Lord, I am available. Praise the Lord. Can we rise up to pray? Oh.